What's up, Dumb Marks? Welcome to episode 183 of the Dumb Marks podcast. You got the full usual suspects here today for you. It's Saturday morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing well.
Here.
Doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of catch up on sleep after WrestleMania weekend?
No, sleep. What sleep? I don't know what sleep is. Sleep. First off, I don't know what happened during the countdown to the show, but I had no video playing, so I don't know if there was.
Mine hasn't been on for a
video. Yeah, mine hasn't been on for like 3 weeks. Yeah.
I just heard music, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So this is, you know what I mean? That, we're off to a great start today.
Wow. It plays on the video, like on the show, because I've gone back and checked it, but for whatever reason, we're not seeing it.
I said this is a shit show before we started, and then no video plays, just music. I'm like, oh, we're off to a great start.
Wasn't well, paying attention. I just know what to look up.
Jason's wearing a shirt. He's concerned about people's mental health. Meanwhile, he don't give a damn about anybody. Just wasted $25 on that shirt for no reason.
Pretty much.
I'm a little more concerned that Jason's got all AEW figures behind him today. You okay back there?
It was the easiest thing to find right now.
I didn't even know you owned that many AEW figures.
It's still in the room.
He got more set changes than a Beyonce concert. This dude, every single time we go live, he got on.
It's different.
Change it up. I like it. Love the new set.
Jeez, oh man.
What's your proudest collectible over there for AEW?
Gotta be Chris Jericho. You gotta be Jericho, right?
I said none of them.
He's got all those. Doesn't like any of them.
Tony Storm.
Yeah, meanwhile, Jared, Tony,
you are no yeah, Jay Cargill.
Okay. Yeah, Jay. I'm telling you, this dude with the fakeness right there. Look, but notice he said Tony first. So,
the comments.
Yeah, Jade's on it. Jade's on the bottom shelf, and he got Tony up on the top shelf, so you can see her.
What's up, Mars? How you doing today?
Mars, thanks again for tuning in, for hopping on and doing some run-ins over WrestleMania weekend for Podomania 4. We appreciate you guys coming in and sharing the breakdown and the knowledge that you guys give your audience each and every single week. So thanks for linking up with us as always. Hoping to do some more crossover pods as we work on 2024 moving forward.
Mars is in the comments. Taekwon's always doing his thing in the comments already. So
Cody finished his damn story at WrestleMania, so I guess I got to finish my story and actually send out Taekwon's shirt. I was hoping Roman was going to win, and then that was going to be my comment to Taekwon. I'll send you the shirt when Cody finishes his story.
You said it.
Yeah.
We said it was in the harbor.
Yeah, it is in the harbor. That's right. In the harbor. Too soon.
It's the week of Mania Fallout. Definitely was trying to get caught up, you know, watching stuff, watching the Fallout, watching some other stuff, but kind of thing I think I want to kick off the show with this week for the topic, kind of the title of the show, wrestling beef in the grind. You know, a lot of wrestling pettiness this week. So I kind of want to, what do you guys think of wrestling pettiness? Anything that, there was multiple things for wrestling pettiness this week. It wasn't just one. So was there something that stood out to you guys that you would want to talk about? Steve, I know you sent over the thing about wrestling beef this week. You want to kick us off with the topic?
So I'm always on here champion wrestling beef, right? I love wrestling pettiness. But considering what's going on with the rap beef world right now, I feel like what AEW did on Wednesday night was just like what J. Cole did with his apology at Dreamville Fest. They killed their career Wednesday night. There was no reason to air that footage at all. They did nothing at all. And you kind of weaved it in the storyline with FTR and the Bucks. Okay, you can use this as a setup for Jack Perry, the scapegoat, to come back. Okay. Yeah. But it drew the biggest number as far as a quarter hour rating goes.
I didn't even see the numbers.
And then they, and then everybody left. And you still only popped 819. Which is the highest it's been in a couple months, but like you didn't get nowhere near a million. You didn't get over a million. You had people chanting CM Punk in the arena. Nobody
during the video.
Nobody talked about your show. Nobody talked about anything on the show. And there was good stuff on the show on Wednesday night. They started off hot.
Yeah.
Swerve attacking Samoa Joe. You don't know what's going on with that. They did a nice little weave in, you know, to lead up to Joe actually coming back out in the main event wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Penta and Adam Copeland go out there and put on a hell of a match. Copeland's out there doing head scissor takeovers like he's 25. And Penta, I've been a huge Penta mark since Lucha Underground. No. The man is a star. And he goes out there and puts on that type of performance. It's like, okay, well, there's another guy you're not using right.
Exactly.
But there was a lot of things.
Is Phoenix hurt again?
He's been hurt with a back injury. Okay. So there's no I haven't heard anything about any type of timetable for him to come back at all. I know it was a serious back injury, so
he will be out for a bit.
But the one thing that people were trending and talking about is the footage that aired that did nothing for you. There's no positive outcomes from the AEW side. Tony Schiavone's face said it all on Wednesday night. Said it all. And now you got conflicting reports coming out. Oh, it was the Young Bucks wanted to air it, and Will Ospreay wanted to give that promo. And then there's conflicting reports saying no. They didn't want nothing to do with it. The Bucks didn't want to air the footage. They moved on and were past it. Ospreay didn't want to go out there and give the promo. But Tony Khan said, nope, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going.
I'm actually surprised because usually anytime Tony's asked about anything regarding this, he always says, due to legal stuff, I can't talk about it.
I got an NDA on it.
He never discusses anything. So for them to do this actually really surprised me because of him usually not wanting to discuss it ever.
My time, I was training more for the Brawl Out footage, or whichever one's the Bucks and
we're not gonna get the Omega Punk fight in the with Larry the Dog and
yeah, yeah, you deserve yeah, yeah, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, you had people bickering over who was Punk was in the wrong and he lied. And it was like, well, if you listen to Punk, he really didn't lie. The only thing he maybe embellished on was the fact that he said Perry came up to him, but he walked up to Perry in the video. But like,
what he said on the cracked podcast, me up with that was he said, like, I thought I was doing the responsible thing. Like, okay, you're definitely trying to spin it, but after watching that, but
and
yeah, it wasn't much different. Like, that's a responsible thing, then you're just an idiot. But
I've seen some breakdowns and some recaps from older wrestlers, and you know, they said, well, listen, like, there's unwritten rules, just like there's unwritten rules in baseball, right? Mm-hmm. If another guy is within, you know, 1 to 2 feet of your space, and they say, what are you going to do about it? And you don't do nothing about it, then the locker room's going to look at you a different way. And it's like, all right, well, that may be an old school mentality looking at things.
Yeah.
Before, so shit may be handled differently. But at the same time, if it's an unwritten rule in baseball, there's probably unwritten rules in wrestling that are still outdated but are in effect. So, like, I don't know, man. It's nothing. Like, I was disappointed.
I mean, we talked about it even before, like after they announced it, and we said, you know, it's basically a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. You know, like, you announced it, the hype was going to be around it, and that's all it was going to be. And then, of course, everybody felt it was a letdown. So
the only person that looked good in this was Joe.
I mean, Joe, Hulk never broke character. He just stayed like Hulk normally does.
Ty wants to know what you're going to do about his shirt.
Waiting for the hook signal.
when they air out of that Brawl Out footage.
And then, and then Malakai Black was just casually walking around. Just, and it's like, yo, like,
your boss was on the other guy's side of the computer just sitting there. Well, doing nothing. So could have stopped it to begin with.
I mean, Chris Hero may have had the greatest reaction of all. And they said he did the oh no, Cassius oh no on his head like this. But I mean, Tony fearing for his life. Like, okay, I can see Punk lunged at the table a little bit, but who knows what he said verbally. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. Like, it just did nobody any favors. Like, nothing at all. For what?
I thought it hurt Jack the most, but I feel like he's. I guess he's leaning into it.
It didn't hurt Jack the most. Yeah. Did you see clips of him last night in Chicago?
Yeah, it hurt him. At all.
He came out there and got the biggest heel pop of the whole. They booed him out of the world. He had to cry me a river on the back of the leather jacket. Walked out with the CM Punk flag. I mean, okay, great, but here's the problem with that. CM Punk's no longer in your company.
Exactly.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do on Dynamite? Yeah. You going to walk out there with a CM Punk flag?
Yeah, there's no payoff for it. I did see someone, Leany McMeany on Twitter. He posted an alternate video the other day of Jack Perry's like Titantron video, but made out of Living Colors. Punk theme song. I was just like, if he comes out to that at some point, like the crowd would eat that shit up too. But to go against what you're saying, Steve, there's no payoff. So what's the point of doing it?
Forbidden door.
Yeah. Can't do anything about it. I mean, everybody over there is complaining about Punk and all that stuff, but Tony was the one who fired him. You didn't have to fire him. It's all a moot point to me.
If you go to CM Punk's side from that interview, he said he wanted to get let go, you know, the year before.
Now this is pretty good. That's pretty good. That may be the best booking idea you gave on this show. I mean,
technically, shouldn't they be a tag team since they're both against them?
Well, you know, there's been stuff coming out that Cabana tried to talk to Punk whenever he was there, and Punk told him he'd only talk to him with lawyers.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was more impressed with the promo FTR came out and cut afterwards. Like, Cash said it best, what are we doing still talking about this? We're here to move on. Like, why are we doing this?
I mean, isn't that what the Young Bucks said 2 years ago?
And that I will take legitimately. Everything else, I'm not taking nothing at all. It's just all antics, NDAs, da-da, this and that. It's just a bunch of bullshit. It is.
Shivani really is. Shivani lived through the downfall of WCW.
for
Jody Bagwell in a pool match, and David Arquette, and Russo, and go on down the line in the list. Somebody put a list together of, you know, and how AEW is aligning to that.
He's part of it, too.
He wanted to be anywhere else in the entire world but in that seat when they aired that footage on Wednesday night. And you can't have your on-screen commentators or any on-screen talent for that matter looking that dejected and please take me anywhere else but here during your live broadcast of your show.
Amen, Renee.
Yeah, like how awkward was Renee whenever Ospreay hit the grinding line?
Yeah,
grinding. Like, what are you doing?
Your band is sounding like Kevin Nash is booking everything.
And don't get me wrong, like I popped for the grinding line. Like I was like, okay, cool. But at the same time, it's like, yo, Will, do you know that he was legitimately referencing you?
No.
I didn't see the part of it. From what I saw, it was that he referenced, you know, someone asked him about Ospreay, and that was his.
No, he talked about the if you don't want to be here, if you want to go somewhere else and take a lighter schedule and work less dates, and you're not here for the grind, then I'm okay with not signing you. I don't want you. And he said that on McAfee's show on Friday.
But yet, whenever people would ask him about Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns' late schedule, you know, not doing it, he was like, well, wouldn't you do it?
Well, and that's the thing. And it's like,
well, they built up equity, though.
That's earned.
Yeah, but like if you go like Ospreay said, you know, he wanted this schedule because his family didn't want to leave the UK, you know, so he can commute to the US to do a show and then do that.
And that's a hell of a that's a harder grind every single week. Yeah. You're flying 8 to 10 hours after wrestling and everything else. Like,
mm-hmm. but here's I respect him for it. You know,
prayers to him for hopping on a 737 nowadays, going back and forth across the planet. But the way everything Boeing got going on, like, he couldn't catch me on a flight right now. If it's not within driving distance, I'm not going nowhere right now. I'm not getting on a plane with all the shit that's going on. But at the same time, if you wanted to address Hunter, and say you did take it personal, and say you did think it was about you, you could have went another direction besides the grinding line just to get a shock and awe pop.
That's all.
They would say, "Oh, hey Trips, about your boy Kevin Nash and Scott Hall taking lighter schedules for a better payday." You going to knock them for not wanting to do the grind? Hey, Trips, what about your boy Sean Waltman? Didn't he come over, go somewhere else for a lighter schedule? More money, less dates? Like, you could have went a different direction besides, oh, you were banging the boss's daughter. When everybody knows that, they've been married for, what, 20 years now?
20 years, yeah. I would have been like, yeah. Go, Jason.
It was just bad timing.
It's a promo. It's
just you don't do it the same day.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't be J. Cole in 7 minute drill, apologize, and then come out and drop another diss track. You can't do that. You can't be AEW and say, we're not gonna talk about this. We're not gonna talk about this. We moved on from Punk. Oh, wait, we're gonna air the footage because you talked to Ariel Helwani. And then Ospreay dropping another diss track. Like, it didn't don't work.
If I'm Hunter, I would have been like, yeah, I was begging the boss's daughter, and guess what? I still am, too. I'm a lucky guy.
That's peak stepping man.
Definitely. Like, I still am. Congratulations. You got me. Oh, boy. You hurt. Good promo guy.
AEW is wanting to cash in on the wrestling beef, on the wrestling pettiness, with a guy that's no longer there. And we said this way back when they suspended Punk the first time. If you want to make money as a company and as a business, and you want to draw houses and everything else, you put that on screen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about Matt and Edge. We talked about Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett. Those are the two of the biggest examples in pro wrestling of real life getting in the way. Both surrounding a female. This had no female involvement, but Will wants to bring a female into it. It was the first time when I sat back and I looked at AEW and was like I was like a disappointed father. It was like a kid letting me down, not doing something in a way that they know better that they shouldn't be doing it. It's like, yo, you know you can't vape at school, but yet you get caught vaping in the bathroom and get suspended for 3 days. Like, what are we doing?
You look this like local indie promotion out there.
This week I thought, you know, everybody was referencing WCW 2001 with this. I actually thought this is more like TNA Dixie this week, that you have someone that's in charge that shouldn't be in charge, and you're not doing anything about it. It's like, no matter what's going to, like, the talent now should be going to Tony and just be like, listen, we need better structure here. You know, if you have enough talent complain about it, maybe he'll listen. Or maybe you got to go to the old man who's the money for the company and get a change that way too. I don't know. But... but just like whenever they were trying to get Paul Heyman and they were trying to get Jim Ross to go to TNA to help out TNA, and, you know, the family was just like, no, Dixie's still in charge. We're going to bring you in, but, you know, Dixie's still going to have control over everything. That's the same thing it is right now with Tony. Like, nothing's going to change. unless something changes with Tony.
Again, Dynamite was not that bad of a show Wednesday night.
The past few Dynamites haven't been a bad show.
Like, I like what they're doing with Swerve and Joe. I like that story. Like I said, Copeland with his open challenge and him and Penta put on a hell of a match. You got, you know, now you got Willow and Julia Hart in the fold with the House of Black versus Copeland. So you can set up an intergender match and everything else. Like, okay, you can see the layers being built for that. So, okay, now you got like your secondary title involved in a story now. Like, you're doing some things good. You're not necessarily doing anything great right now. You're doing some things good, which is better than where you were at. And you just cheddar bobbed yourself and shot yourself in the foot on Wednesday night. Like, Wednesday night should be like, if you look up Cheddar Bob, besides Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile, that's the picture that's next to it. It's Cheddar Bob and then Tony Khan's face holding up a VHS of CTV.
I saw something else this week with AEW that kind of reminded me. I think this was partially done due to wrestling pettiness. So they released their whole pay-per-view schedule for the rest of the year. And so through September, you know, it's all Sunday events, you know, because a lot of it WWE has put on Saturdays. So I think they did this specifically because October, November, and December's pay-per-views, they're back on Saturdays. And I think they did that specifically because WWE hadn't booked anything yet. Well, just like, we're the ones that did Saturday pay-per-views originally, so they were trying to get back into it too, I think.
Well, they never should have moved off of Saturdays to begin with.
Exactly. That was their niche.
Yeah.
It was.
And now it's WWE's niche, and I feel good about it. Great about it.
Yeah, cool. You got, like, TNA has taken over Friday pay-per-views. New Japan, when they've done their shows here in the States, like last night, they go on Fridays. Cool. If there's a pay-per-view booked that same week for WWE, great. You whet my appetite waiting for the WWE pay-per-view on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot that went down last night. You had SmackDown, you had Rampage, and Rampage was surprisingly a decent show for it being Rampage.
Don't watch it.
But nobody cares or is talking about it. And then you had the New Japan Strong Show. Don't hate. Back one.
I mean, just because one promotion has a Saturday booked, don't mean you could use another Saturday in that month.
Yeah. And why do they do it the same weekend? Like, you can change it up.
Like, wow.
Yeah, there are three other Saturdays in a month.
There are three other Saturdays in a month. People are stupid as hell. Like, oh, you took my Saturday. God damn it.
But I think they did it because, like, WWE did that against them. Like, they had their, you know, Labor Day weekend show, and then WWE was like, no, we're going to do a Labor Day weekend show, too.
Okay. That's good wrestling pettiness. Great. But at the same time, like, you don't fold up shop and take your party to the next Sunday and then come back 2 years later and go, no, you know what? We want Saturdays back. No. You bowed out. You apologized. You J. Cole'd yourself.
So, whatever. And that's why they're in the position they're at.
Exactly. Somebody said AEW won't be around in 2026.
Yeah, man, they might not even be here next year.
They'll be here.
They'll be here.
Yeah.
But listen, the other thing that you got to do, whoever's your event coordinator, I don't know how far out in advance that they're booking these venues, but stop booking 10,000-seat arenas if you're only going to put out 2,500 tickets.
Tony has brought that up. I forget when. The last one that I saw, and he said, you know, they are pretty far booked out in advance, but I agree. You know, that's something that by the end of this year, I think we should at least be seeing a change in that.
Go do your Hammersteins. Go do, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's plenty of smaller venues. Go into these college campuses, like when they come
to that are legendary. Yeah.
Like, go into some of those and just fill up 4,000 or 5,000 if you can get it. They can't even get that consistently now, Live Gate. They're floating around, you know, 1,800 to 2,500 on a weekly basis, maybe scratching 3.
Come to court time.
And the crowd on Wednesday was like, the crowd Wednesday, Charleston, I don't know, man, that crowd was like so hit or miss. At times I felt like I was watching a WWE event show because they were just sitting there not saying anything. And then other times they were up and like, and it's just like, you've been around for what, 5 years now? You should know where your markets are and where you're hot and cold at.
Yeah. And
you should stay away from where you're cold at because it doesn't come across on TV. And you only go to certain areas. Well, yeah, because we're hot there. So until we can get the buzz back up and actually start drawing 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people again, then I'm going to stick to my hot markets. Exactly. Business 101.
You see that with the pay-per-view schedule.
Exactly.
And the pay-per-view schedule, they had their lowest schedule. They had their lowest interest in Double or Nothing for pre-sales that they had this week in Vegas. And Vegas typically is not a hot wrestling market. Mm-mm. They got criticized when they went there for Double or Nothing to begin with.
To me, I don't need AEW to have monthly pay-per-views. I'd rather have them go back to quarterly events.
Yeah, the four they had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you build up to those cards, and hopefully there will be interest built into those cards.
They got, what, eight on the books for the rest of the year?
Yep.
Not counting...
the special shows?
Well, counting Dynasty, they got 9. Mm-hmm. Because they released everything after Dynasty.
Right now, the only month that they don't have something planned is July. So that could be a Ring of Honor that month, or maybe they're just taking a month off. All right. So we got into a lot of the wrestling pettiness. Start off on some negative, so let's go into some positive. Who wants to kick things off? The positive for this week for them.
I'll save mine and see if anybody else brings it up.
All right,
I'll go.
I didn't watch much wrestling this week. Other stuff was going on, but R-Truth segment as a whole with the Judgment Day on Monday, hilarious.
Yeah.
Whenever Rhea and Damian put their belts up and then Truth just popped out and put his hip in the middle, I lost it. And to me, I thought that was the whole Mount Rushmore for the week.
Damian hit him. Oh, hell no.
And that there was pure gold.
And then Michael Cole and Pat just talking about R-Truth just living his best life, getting a tag with his childhood hero.
So good.
And I love whatever they would do in their match, they was like the 3-on-2 handicap like the whole time until Zeta came out. But yeah, but again, we mentioned this before, R-Truth is just national treasure.
He's gold.
That win of Mania was well deserved for him.
Him and Miz don't need a long run with the belts, you know, when you want to get serious again, but while they have it, I'm gonna just pop for what Truth comes up with.
And then that with
him in the Judgment Day, cool.
And then that meme that popped up with the whole Judgment Day belt status, and they had Truth in there and all of his 24/7 titles at the bottom.
What was he finalized total?
56.
They said the end again. They said 54, 56 around there.
I think it was his age. However old Truth is.
It was the same.
But yeah, that was my Mount Rushmore this week.
All All right, Donald popping for comedy wrestling.
Jason, go ahead.
Mine goes to NXT. Javon Evans, formerly known as Jay Malachi, I do believe. New kid on NXT. He's a little high flyer, bouncy guy. He was real good last night. He looks good in the ring. And he put him up against Script, which was a good high-flying kind of match. Like, to me, he feels like he has the spot.
Like he on speed. He feels like he should be on speed.
No, don't.
3 minute high flying, no selling matches. Put him on speed.
Don't pigeonhole him. It was selling. No, he reminds me, like, his fluidity is like, to me, he reminds me like a Ray Phoenix. Okay. Like his fluidity in the ring. Like when you see Ray go, it's like nonstop, no pause, no let me set up. He's just straight fluid in the ring. He looked real good.
He looked like a young Ospreay. That's what he looked like. Some of his moves he was doing was like off spray-ish, especially with that cutter bounce off the rope he was doing.
Yeah.
That delay thing. I was like, ooh, that looks familiar.
Now he gotta work.
He don't do it no more, but
he gotta work on the finish a little bit because it just looked like he did a little corkscrew spin and landed on top of the guy. We gotta make that look a little bit more impactful.
And did he land it on his face too?
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw, you know, there was a lot, like, stuff popped off on the timeline. There was stuff yesterday with internet trolls with a microphone talking about him and referencing what he is from something that we're not going to bring up and talk about that was around many moons ago.
Yeah.
And then there was the other internet troll with bashing Denise Salcedo. Like, just because you got a microphone and you stooges.
Come on, Taco.
Yes, Taco, exactly what you spelled out in the comments, which we're not going to reference. But look, like, you want to get on here and you want to bash people to try to get pops and clicks and likes, to get people to jump on your stuff to make it seem like you're more famous or you're more active than what you are. You're not going to see the four of us chill out like that, okay? We got our audience that watches the show each and every single week, and if we continue to grow, we continue to grow. But if not, the people here and listen to us, we're going to entertain you for the hour and a half plus that we're on each and every single week. I'm not going to get on here and bash somebody else, man or woman, whether they're in the ring, and bash them to that regards on a personal level. We'll critique the work. That's what we have a show for. Or somebody that's in wrestling journalism, whatever you want to say that is, that's more successful than the four of us on this show. I'm not going to knock her for it.
But you're here. That's all that counts.
Glad we got into your routine for every Saturday morning, though.
That irked me. Like, I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, man, like, what? Like, not everybody deserves a microphone. Hell, we probably don't deserve a microphone, right? Like, people are going to look at us and go, well, what are you in for, dumb marks? No.
Everybody wants to come back. And then I come back and say, what do you know? I'm just as fan as much as you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 36 years of watching pro wrestling has, you know, factors into why I get on a microphone every single week and talk about it. But yeah, right. This is annoying me. Like, the dude had a good debut. Like, why? Like,
he gave a
different presentation. He definitely got to hit the weights down in NXT. Like, he's skinnier than Jason.
Ho, 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 ho. Wow, my catchphrase. I'm not skinny.
You're not skinny. Okay.
Y'all acting like I'm real thin.
Compared to the three other people on the show, you're real thin. No, that's not like
I'm all right. Okay.
You're fat at heart. I'll give you that.
You're the only dude on the show that when he orders a shirt, there's not an X in front of it.
Hey. I'm not paying the upcharge for the extra X. I'm not paying the fat man tax.
How much do they charge extra for the X now?
It's like $2, maybe $3.
I'll find out if pro wrestling teams change theirs whenever I order Tacon shirt. I'll get back to you.
You better be a large Tacon.
Tacon, you may get a medium. Make it a medium out here.
All right, Steve, what was yours for the week?
So initially, I was going to come in here and give Penta and Adam the nod, just because I really enjoyed their match. Raw had a few things, but I'm going with one of the more obvious things that has been a Mount Rushmore on this show for the last 4 years, the Bloodline. It immediately got me hooked again last night. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. I saw the rumors. People spotted Tama Tonga. He put out the little cryptic phone. He put a red phone out, so he swerved. Yeah. It wasn't a blue phone. He put out a red phone, so people were thinking he was going to show up on Monday. But no, you bring in Tama Tonga. You take out Jay. You don't know what's going on. It's Solo with a coup right now. He's taking over, right? He's the new tribal chief because Roman's gone. The Rock's not there. Did The Rock order it? Because Roman lost, so you're building towards that.
The final boss.
Did Roman actually order it? Because he is the tribal chief. Or are we getting Solo, Tama, and at some point, Jacob Fatu?
Yep. That's what I was thinking.
I thought everybody was coming yesterday.
If we get Solo, Tama, and Jacob Fatu, then you could immediately go Bloodline versus Bloodline, and you can have Roman, Jay, and Jimmy reunite. And you're right back where you started with the initial Bloodline. So I'm here for all this to play out. I'm right back in hook, line, and sinker. Let's go.
Man, that's almost sounded like NWO Black and White versus Wolfpack.
Yeah. Better storytelling.
No, but better storytelling. Yes, I'm not better storytelling.
Your Bloodline's red. My Bloodline's blue.
The only thing I had, it wasn't an issue, was like if that WrestleMania match would have been better. The pop for them to reunite, it's still gonna be good, but the pop for them to reunite would have been epic. Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah,
that was the only thing I was thinking.
But like we say every week, Paul Heyman's reaction to everything yesterday was
he sold it. Like him crying after, like in the back, after
in the back,
crying at the door, yeah, crying, you know.
Like that's where I'm interested in seeing. Like, I think Paul's gonna play this, you know, hostage situation now for a little bit. But I can't wait.
Oh, that'd be
like,
good.
It's perfect. He plays scary real good.
Yeah. Call Roman Reigns.
Solo ripping the phone out, stepping on it. And then after they took Jay out, Solo walks over to Heyman in the corner. Heyman's like, "Oh, please no."
Yeah.
And then put your finger up. Oh, shaking ass arm, trying to get. I'm here for it. Like, let's go. You know, the triple threats last night were good. The outcomes were obvious, based on what they've done. So, okay, cool. But yeah, no, I'm right back in on a Bloodline train. Let's go. Strap in. We're here for another cross around the world trip.
I see people hating on that already.
Yeah, like, how do they not know the ties?
You know, Undertaker and Kane are brothers, right? In real life. Right?
Edge and Christian. Live with it, man. Not really brothers.
Storyline.
No, because everybody got to be right about everything.
Yeah, but no,
they just can't watch.
If I show up in the Bloodline, goddammit, I'm Samoan.
But you bring in Jacob Fatu, and you I mean,
you have to go through with Japanese all those years.
But you act like Haku was never involved with the Samoan dynasty, and he was
exactly
he was the Islanders with Sam Fatu, like, who is Jacob Fatu's dad? Like, what are we talking about here?
Nobody does research, nobody.
But they're right back to having me pay attention to the Easter eggs and the Marvel drops because, I was expecting Tama to show up last night, but I was not expecting him to show up and take out Jimmy.
No.
So when that happened, and Solo was the initiator of it, I'm like, all right, let's go, right back on the train.
kind of reminds me very a little bit of after WrestleMania 14, you know, like whenever Triple H then had to take over DX and rebuild it. So it's like, okay, here we go. Now Solo's doing the same thing.
And what did Roman call Solo? The heir apparent, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said that how many months ago?
Mm-hmm.
So we're again, you gotta pay attention. Like, yeah, I'm coming, Taekwon. And TNA was a good show this week. They're building up their Rebellion card for next Friday with some good match announcements.
They're on next Saturday.
Oh, they're on Saturday?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, they, you know, that card's shaping up really good. We'll take that card next week.
Yeah. Mine for the week. Donald, this isn't going to come any surprise to you because me and you were talking about this one the other day. But I got to give it to the debut of Mina Shirakawa on AEW. And all it made me think of was, I need to start watching Stardom.
Yo, you're worse than Max Caster. Max tweeted out the gif of them two kissing in the ring, and he was like, AEW was a great show tonight.
I didn't see that. Yeah. Awesome. But in all seriousness, part of my reason for bringing this up was AEW announced Forbidden Door, you know, for the summer again this weekend. They did not specifically say it's AEW versus New Japan. I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to go all in on it. It should be AEW versus Stardom for the next Forbidden Door. Change it up a little bit.
There's still a lot to play out on that Stardom side of the thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, Julia and Rose Nagawa at Mania.
Not going to confirm or deny.
Chris has never met a Chinese restaurant he doesn't like taco.
There's a comeback for every goddamn thing.
Right. Yeah. He's hitting up every Japanese steakhouse at the mall. Throughput, okay. The only thing is like, you could tell that the crowd didn't know.
Of course they did.
Oh, yeah. The only thing, like, you could tell, like, New Japan people watch New Japan. Like, Stardom is so, not that they're so like left of center as far as people watching everything, but if you're watching Stardom on a regular basis, you're a true wrestling nerd.
Yeah.
You are in it. So that kind of threw people off. But at the same time, like, hell of a way to debut.
I heard the event that they did WrestleMania weekend here was great. So I think I'm gonna try to go back and watch it.
I didn't want to. Still trying to keep the peace in 2024, right? You know, but yes, that would be another way to describe them, Taekwon. And for those of you that cannot see the comments, I'm not going to reference what Taekwon called them, but put two and two together when it comes to wrestling nerds, and you'll figure out what word he used, what adjective he used to describe them. But no, and then look, that does what? It adds another layer to that whole story, right? Now you got her in the full with Mariah and Tony. You saw Tony throw the toast in the Thunder Rosa's face. You had Deonna come out, and Rosa, blinded by the champagne, couldn't see that it was Deonna. So now you got to beat them to
swipe her off. Yeah.
In one segment, you got five women writing one story. Okay, cool. Now what can you do with it? What can you get me to keep coming back and stay tuned in for it?
They'll show you backstage. Yeah, Ben, they'll show you backstage footage or something.
We go right back to GTV.
Exactly.
Now, my only thing with the AEW versus Stardom pay-per-view, Chris, for Forbidden Door, if you just make it a women's one like that, I don't know what they'll do numbers-wise.
I thought about, you know, how we've talked about the previous all-women pay-per-view, but...
So, I'm not mad at it. There's enough on both sides of the board to lay out a card that would be very interesting and very compelling from a match sequence wise.
I just feel like going into Forbidden Door, like we talked about this, like what matches would really get you excited, you know, for a New Japan right now with a lot, so many talents that have moved over. Now last night changed things, you know, John Moxley won the New Japan title last night, so that could be something, you know, where they go with this. But at this point, I would just like to see something different. And I think, you know, having an all-woman pay-per-view, how many times have AEW fans won that a few years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they have to build up their – AEW got to build up their women's roster. I mean, they have the women. They just got to build them up.
Yeah. Could you –
No, they do.
Yeah.
Could you do – like, why wouldn't you do it?
I'm taking a phone call right on air. You're taking it on air. Like, stays on camera and just – no one's watching this shit anyway, so I'll just take a phone call.
Like, why would you do, like, a filler and do, like, a whole show dedicated to the women ahead of a pay-per-view, maybe?
So do, like, a Dynamite, this whole show of women?
That or, like, I don't want to say Rampage because it's only an hour.
Yeah.
But, like, work those shows and see how it tests out and then do a whole pay-per-view.
I mean, we'll make out. We'll see maybe in the coming weeks if anybody else debuts or if this is
well, like this is SmackDown has the Mania before the SmackDown WrestleMania or whatever. Mm-hmm. That just feels like a kickoff to the pay-per-view.
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I would do that with like people who are on the card, but that's not in the main event picture, and just do an all women show right before the pay-per-view.
Or even yeah,
that's not a bad idea there.
You know, to help out, seeing as Stardom and New Japan have a working relationship. Do a few matches. So don't do all New Japan matches. Do a few Stardom and a few New Japan matches.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry we bothered your phone call. Like, I know we have a show to do, but
we need to interrupt
your personal time. Yeah.
Let's see. My wife and daughter are with my sister-in-law and her nephew. They drove out. My sister's or my wife's nephew prom is coming up, senior prom. Well, they took a little road trip to drive out to Ohio today to look for tuxedos. Don't ask me why they drove to Ohio to look for tuxedos.
For tux? Hey,
So they drove out to Ohio, right? And my wife and daughter went with them this morning, which is cool. So I'm at the crib to myself, right? Nice little day / afternoon by myself. Get on the pod. Great. But I get a text that says, call me, please. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know exactly how far away, but you're more than, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes away right now. Like, so I had to call and she answers like, I didn't mean to make it urgent. I apologize. I'm like, well, okay, there you go. Thanks a lot. So, you know, Mary, mistake number one was me actually thinking it was emergency. Second was, she just cut. Like a 3-minute promo on his store that they're in right now, and I'm not going to name the store. They are not happy right now. They are not happy right now.
So. And he said that I'm the shit show on this show.
So. Yeah. Well, my bad, Taquan. I forgot all you single bums. I told you, we were originally going to call this podcast Married with Single Friends, but we didn't think that would go over in the wrestling world covering wrestling. But so needless to say, I'm gonna have to have a conversation with my wife when she gets back. Yo, if I'm potting and it's something urgent, you got to put urgent in all caps or something. We got to come up with a code word because yeah. You can't just send me that text and make me think, oh, you're like two and a half hours away. I don't know what's going on. I get a call me, please. Like,
yeah.
He gets pineapples. Oh, I got to leave.
Yeah. Tune in next week for next week's mush.
Oh, that's low hanging fruit.
It's the man calls. You can't use that.
You can't use that. That's low hanging fruit. That's worse than AEW airing the footage. You
probably beat my ass.
So, Steve, while you got the mic, what was the low point of the week for you?
I really want to get on here, and I'm not. We already talked about AEW, right? So I'm not gonna low point that. There was enough there to low point it. I don't know, man. Like I was so happy coming out of WrestleMania weekend, just because we got so much good wrestling across the board and everything. Like, I really wasn't looking for the negatives this week besides AEW. So I'm not gonna pinpoint one thing this week for a mush. AEW is an obvious one. So if you're doing a recap, you can just kind of mark me down for that. But yeah, other than that, I'm not gonna bury anything this week. We had a good week in pro wrestling. A lot of positives out there, a lot of good wrestling. You know, we're picking back up with good stories, so I'll keep it there.
I figured they were gonna go with the AEW stuff, so I just picked some little stuff. One was the people in Philly missing the "You Can't See Me" chant. Like, we haven't been watching this man for 15 years do it. Trash. How do you miss the timing on that? And two was so Mercedes Moné got attacked backstage on AEW, mm-hmm. and there's a clip of her moaning on the ground. The one around Twitter and the amount of bookmarks it has is out of hand. Ridiculous. Just for the moment.
Says the man who has it bookmarked, apparently.
It just came across my screen.
Just mess with you.
For me, I have NXT as a whole, minus the Scripps match with the new guy. You got your Natty title match. I don't know what's worse, her getting the title match on everything, just like Archer and Nyla Rose. Anytime a new champ is here, she got to get the first title shot. The Kalani Fallon versus James and Izzy, that should have been on Stand and Deliver.
True.
You should have been there. Should have been on the show. Axiom and Frazier getting their title win on TV. They should have got on Stand and Deliver also. It's just, and then having AOP and Cross come beat them up. I was like, did AOP and Cross get a demotion? I was like, I thought they were doing stuff.
AOP's in the number one contenders match for the SmackDown tag team titles next week.
Yeah, it was like,
I thought the belts together.
Yeah, I thought they were on SmackDown. What are they doing now? NXT just beating people up. Just
don't. This thing is just sparked around the draft.
Is that what it is?
Because apparently NXT is going to be a part of it too. Like, they can pick somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
They've had a couple of picks the past couple of years.
And then I'm highly not interested in Trick and Mello in a cage match next week. Like, you had your blood feud at Stand and Deliver. Mm-hmm. Mello should be gone. I don't want to see them go at it again, to be honest.
To reference Jason's comment, that's how I felt. Like, that's why they added it. They're going to use Mello for the draft. Like, you already had Braun drafted to SmackDown, like, before the draft. For whatever reason, you did that. But, you know, that's why I figure that's why they're just hanging on to him just one more week.
I will say, since you brought up NXT, and that, it did remind me, because after the 48-minute Rockin' Cody promo segment on Monday, Shinsuke Nakamura, like, losing a 4-minute TV match to Ilya Dragunov. Like,
those two men did not deserve a 4-minute match.
No. No.
Why is it, why are you putting Nakamura in that spot?
Yeah. And I like his whole nightmare gimmick and that stuff, but that nightmare gimmick produced zero wins every time he talks about, oh, I'm taking you to the nightmare. Zero wins.
Yeah,
it's not like Triple H doesn't know how to, you know, produce Shinsuke. You know, he did a great job with him in NXT. So is it the creative that doesn't know what to do with him, or what?
That gimmick is just as bad as Frankie Kazarian's the Elite Hunter. He never won against the big Elite Hunter, but he won against, like, Brandon and, you know, all the small timer ones.
We're not gonna go that far.
No, we go that far. You know, you can't take somebody to the nightmare and not win. You can't be an Elite Hunter and not knock off any of the top lieutenants or the general. Nah, same gimmick.
You had Ivar come out on the kind of character.
give me that.
I'll take that match. I will take that
match. I want to see that match. But I was like, hold on, you're a Viking writer. Get out there and
forget the Viking stuff. Give me the Hell's Angel version of Ivar. Give me that dude.
I thought it was the Demo dude from Chaos when I first seen him pop out. I don't know. I forget what his real name was. Was it Wild?
Vanity.
You thought it was.
Okay, at least they're letting him talk.
Yeah.
I will say my 1B for Mount Rushmore that just absolutely popped me last night was Kevin Owens doing the walking promo with the camera shot and him knocking over CM Punk's t-shirts. That was like such a insider baseball moment, but it was just so great.
Right next to his t-shirts, like, get these away from me.
Yeah, he's like, oh, hey, can I do the walking, you know, where they the long shot where they follow you from the here to the ring? Yeah, sure. All right, give me a mic. And he's talking like, come on, let's go. And then he just sees the Punk shirts and pushes them off the table. It's great. Great stuff. And then he was like, here, Jamie, catch this mic. Bruce, hit my music.
It was good last night. SmackDown actually wasn't bad.
Yeah. SmackDown was great. Like, I feel we talked about this on Monday.
What was that last week? That, you know, SmackDown had just not been what it's been. So it was nice to see a decent SmackDown again.
But we talked about on Monday whenever we did our night two recap and watched the first segment of Raw that, you know, the Raw after Mania has kind of been a letdown these last couple of years, but they've split it up over two nights. Where, like, before you would get all the surprises and everything on Raw, like, but now it's split up. So when you look at it as a whole, there was a lot of stuff done. But SmackDown definitely for me was more interesting just because of everything that played out.
Yeah,
I had Raw because you had the surprises. You had the Roxanne, you had the Ilya, and it felt like SmackDown was like more of a continuation of storylines. Still good though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Right.
I will say, going back and watching the 45-minute Rock promo, it wasn't as bad as us watching with no audio.
I agree.
No. And I saw, you know, this is where the internet is great because they picked out the freaking Cody Rhodes Rock promo from 10 years ago where Cody comes to the ring and is like, hey, Rock, I want to look at your title. Mm-hmm. And climbs in and, you know, it's when Rock was WWE champ and he's looking at it, he's manifesting that he's going to be WWE champ. So the whole back and forth of, hey, let me see your title. Let me hold your title. Like, they played off of that, but nobody's going to remember that promo from 10 years
ago. No.
Unless the internet pulls it back up. But somebody on the internet did. So thank you for that. Yeah. Because then it was like, oh, okay, great.
That was that forced Marvel Easter egg. Yeah, you didn't know about this, so we're just gonna link it up. You know,
yeah. It's been on my timeline since he became the final boss, so I've seen it every week. No.
Hey, Taquan, you don't get the quote. You know, you can't pull the Cody using Brandy's line like he did last night on SmackDown. Okay, Heffa. All right.
All right, mine for the week. I'm going to, even before it happens, I'm just going to highlight Battle of the Belts tonight. It's the 10th Battle of the Belts, and the reason being, you're running monthly events now. You don't need this stupid
Battle to retain.
You're putting mushes on the show?
I got two things, yeah.
That should be next week's gripe. Everything that happens post this show. Hold on, next week.
He's predicted.
You know what it's going to be. So the only positive to the show that I'm actually looking forward to is Athena's actually going to be on the AEW program. She's defending.
Nobody's going to watch it because it's on Saturday night after Collision.
Like, at least they're using her for something different instead of just on Ring of Honor, because that's the
first. Why should you be the first one to lose?
that would be messed up.
After the banger, her and Sheeta had it ROH last Friday.
And then I'm also going to give the AEW zoom in and out. It reminded me of ECW hard cam days. Like, we can't zoom out any further. Like, I don't know. who was producing that those segments this week with those zoom in and outs, but that was Mansoury. Terrible.
Isn't that Mansoury? Isn't he the Kevin Dunn protege? Right.
That was worse than whenever Kevin Dunn, like, you know, whenever you, like, every time you punch somebody and you move the cam.
Yeah. This is our swing, remember?
They heard Triple H talking about bigging up, what's his name, in the WrestleMania press conference about the production changes and everything else and how good it's been. And they got a whole lot, you know, a whole lot more to show as far as new ways that they're going to shoot stuff. And AEW was like, you know what? We're going to zoom in and zoom out. Like, they got a handheld VHS tape recorder. Like, I'm 9 years old recording Christmas, you know, Christmas Eve at my grandma's house.
Tell me what you got.
Yeah, like, oh, let me zoom in on this present as it gets unwrapped, and then I'll pan back out and see everybody's reaction. Like I'm Quentin Tarantino at 9 years old. Old shaky ass hand, dude.
The big shoulder thing.
Just went right back to the ECW days whenever I was watching that.
Like, I'm Channel 4 News outside on talking about the ass camera. What are we doing?
Zoom the in, brawl, zoom out. The brawling in the crowd. That's as far as we go.
So, you know, like, WWE's using AI, and AEW is like, you know what? We're going to go back to MySpace and put up 5 songs. We're gonna be innovative in that way.
Did they use Telestrator on Dynamite?
We're gonna give you a hotline to call for the breaking news.
Did they use Telestrator? Was that a meme?
They're still using 1-900 numbers. WWE got everybody FaceTiming in for breaking Yeah, that was bad.
All right, anything else for the week?
I got a couple. I got things in quick hits. After we do a game here,
okay. Instead of, we're gonna kind of veer off instead of a normal game. Tonight's UFC 300, so I kind of wanted to talk about that. See if there are any fights you guys are interested in. What you're looking forward to.
This is a football project. So when I come in and I don't have a game, I can just be like, hey, you want to talk about your Saturday last weekend?
How's that UFL? How's that UFL game?
You
go off script. Look at Doc Wad calling you Ariel Helwani. Having wrestlers on the MMA hour. This guy.
NCAA's coming out in a month.
I'm excited. Sheerly, not that it. I don't watch UFC the way that I used to. Like, I used to watch it
same here.
Nonstop. I was watching every single pay per view that they did. And now, like, I can't even remember the last UFC card I actually paid for and watched straight through, to be honest with you.
I think the last one I watched was a McGregor fight.
So, like, yeah, it's 300. It's a big show, obviously.
They're doing their normal promotion. This is the greatest fight card ever.
And the card is loaded. You know, what I think what I'm going to be paying attention to more now based off of the press conference, Dana White upping in fight bonuses from $50,000 to $300,000.
Just for tonight, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for tonight, because UFC 300. So
300. So you have to throw hands.
That means people will be out there throwing hands. So we're not going to get no, oh, hey, let's link up and do a judo match. No.
Somebody get ass in beat.
There looking for KOs.
All right, so Jason, we got 5 fights on this card for the main card.
Expecting heads.
And I know, like usual, whatever you pick for this, you're probably going to get the most right on this card.
Red shoes.
So.
I haven't watched it in Herbie. So long. I don't even know who these people are anymore.
Yeah, I have no clue, but I'll go with Cody just because Cody Rhodes. I'm a wrestling mark. There you go.
Is that Bo Nichols?
Oh, Dallas. What's that? Howdy.
Give me Bo Nichols.
Going with Bo. One Cody, one Bo. Donald.
What's her nicknames?
That's not nice.
What's her nickname? I'm not sure what any of them. I have no idea. I'll go with the Cody guy.
I don't think anybody really knew Battle of the Belts was tonight, because I didn't until Chris brought it up. I thought it was next Saturday.
They said, I think, did they say it on Rampage?
They announced it on Dynamite.
On Dynamite, okay.
I'm seeing it in the graphic.
Yeah. All right, we got a lightweight fight.
Going up against UFC 300. Yeah.
They need to just, that's why it was on my message for the week. They just got to stop doing it.
Give me Charles Xavier.
Give me Oliveira.
He says Xavier.
Who'd you say, Steve?
Give me Oliveira.
Okay, so two for Charles.
Yeah.
Armin sounds like a cool name to Armin.
I'm going to go with Armin as well. We got two and two. So the next three are title fights. This one, title fight, BMF championship, you know, doesn't really mean shit. It's the FTW title.
Yeah, it's the FTW title of the UFC.
So they got unsanctioned belts on this place now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that The Rock brought out.
You know? The WWE definitely seeped into them.
Who has the belt?
Justin Gaethje.
All right. I'm
Max Holloway.
I'll go and Gaethje to retain.
Yeah, I'll go with Gaethje.
Yeah, so retain. Women's strawweight championship. They're kind of building this up. It's the first time China versus China in a title fight. So this is actually a big deal for these two fighters.
Yeah, and
this knows that name. Say him.
There was the announcement a little while ago about, you know, them linking the China UFC deal. So this is to kind of showcase that. I'll go with Zhang.
Yeah, I'm going with Zhang to retain.
Zhang Wei.
Yang.
And then the light heavyweight championship.
Give me Pereira.
Jamel Hill. And new. Going and new.
Pereira.
I think we're going to see a retain here, too. But I guarantee Jason will probably be the one to.
Look, for it being UFC 300, while the fight card itself lends to really good fights, hopefully, based on matchups, it don't have the star power that a UFC 300 or UFC 250 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
remember the hype around UFC 100?
Well, remember 100, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't have those. Like, that's why I was like, yo, you had Sugar Sean fight on 299. Why not put him on 300? He's arguably your biggest star in the UFC right now.
Like, you think he'll save all those fights for this weekend?
Yeah.
You think?
Not saying that these guys aren't worthy, but at the same time, like, it's just that extra star power is just not there for it to be a 300 or, you know, those earmarked pay-per-view milestones.
Do you feel like they passed the torch in UFC at all?
As far
like,
as...
I just feel like the legends just fade away. They're not beat out of UFC. It's just like they just go off.
Well, that's the difference between UFC and
WWE. Yeah, because they can't fight no more.
You don't get the Ric Flair moment.
I'm saying,
you get the Chuck Liddell, my jaw's gone, and everything touches, it knocks me out. Like, you don't.
That's it.
So, like, you're thinking, like, you know, they lose the fight, and, like, that next person's kind of like the next thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like that. Like, this is my last fight. You take the title off me. Like, I just feel like they just drift off.
I mean, no, like,
but they don't write the story, you know, beforehand.
It's not the story, but.
They don't. I mean, you can take in the fact like Holly Holm's still wrestling or not wrestling, fighting. Like she's on the prelim card, you know, and she's the one that, you know, knocked out Rousey. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like here we are. Pretty much everybody else has gone away at this point. You know, that was in that division at that time, but she's still going.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like you do have those moments though, like. Well, St. Pierre just left and never came back. But, like, you have Amanda Nunes who, you know, went out as champ.
And Holm was made for a good minute after she beat Ronda.
Yeah.
Until her jaw went, and now she's playing on prelims. She's fighting at 6:05 tonight. As soon as the doors open, ain't nobody gonna be in there. Like,
like Steve said, once your jaw goes, that's it for you.
Pretty much.
All right, Chris. Thanks for getting us off wrestling games and stuff. You Logan Paul Mark.
That's exactly what I wanted to do.
The prime will be on the map for UFC.
So, Steve, you said you had a couple other things. What else do you have?
Yeah, just a couple quick hitters in and around wrestling this week that I found were interesting. Heels, the star that was on shows, seasons 1 and 2 are going to be on Netflix. And if they do well on Netflix, there's potential to get a third season. So I'm excited for it. I didn't have Stars, so I didn't watch Heels. I heard great things about it. So once it's actually up and on Netflix, I'll be going on Netflix to watch it.
First season was great. I didn't watch the second season because it was canceled so quickly after it aired that I was just like, what's the point of finishing it at this point? But I might go back and watch that now.
Yeah. Paul Heyman's WWE Hall of Fame speech has over 27 million views across WWE digital and social platforms. It's the most socially viewed Hall of Fame moment of all time. But we talked about Heyman's speech.
Not Brett.
Last Saturday. No, more than Brett. More than Brett getting attacked. So
yeah. I got to go boost those numbers real quick. Refresh.
Going to be all on rotating play for the next 7 days.
Jason, you're going to have to make some new space on those shelves for new figures. TNA announced their line of new action figures.
It's already loaded. I can't.
So the first initial wave for action figures, it'll feature Eddie Edwards, Jordan Grace, Moose, and Josh Alexander.
Okay, Jordan Grace is worth it.
She had the tweet of the year, I think, so far, where she said, "This is the only chance you'll get to play with me." So I thought that was well done. Good twittering on her part there.
Did they say if it's going to be available in stores or?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I can tell you what company it was.
Jax?
Powertown?
I never heard of them. Okay.
The graphic with the figures on it, they look good.
Yeah, the figures look decent.
Yeah. So
okay. I don't know if they're gonna just be online only or if they're actually.
Yeah, you can pre-order them starting Monday. You can pre-order them. So
there'll be a revision in 2 months that we gotta do.
Yeah. But shout out there. And then see what else did I have. And lastly, we talk about Cody and whether or not he was the right choice and everything else. He sold over $1 million worth of merchandise over WrestleMania weekend.
Probably all that damn jacket.
Everybody had that jacket. I'd like to know how much that jacket cost. That was a lot.
I don't know what the splits are for talent when it comes to merchandise, how much they make, right? But you got to figure, you selling over $1 million worth of merch in 1 weekend, your year is going to look pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like,
some nice mania around this on top of what you're already going to get.
Yeah, that's like.
Nick Kong will pass on that.
Man.
Making us money. That's all I care about.
Yeah. So we're going to get everything, Cody. You're going to have weight belts. You're going to have everything under the sun coming out.
I need a Mama Rhodes.
Yeah, they need to come off the Mama Rhodes.
If you can personalize a weight belt for Mother's Day, I'm on it.
Yo.
I'm sure there's a site you can do it. It's not going to be WWE, but I'm sure you can do it.
We know somebody who could probably get that done.
Jason, just make sure Mother's Day is May 12th, so just make sure you record somebody as your handicap.
Whatever happens.
Mama Rhodes. Mama beats him. With my tears on this belt.
I'm with my brother like, look at you.
Look at your firstborn now.
Look at
your firstborn.
Fuck that.
Oh, finished. Something that actually just came across my phone, I'm going to bring up if we want to talk about it or not. All of VKM's remaining TKO shares are up for sale.
You want to hop on and buy some?
Hell no.
Taekwon dropping fun facts. What do we got, Taekwon? Maven, Mansoor, Mace.
Okay.
Is that on Maven's YouTube channel, Taekwon? Because his YouTube channel is great.
Only thing I don't know now is Fanatics runs the WWE store, so now they're taking a cut.
Okay. You know, so, yeah, so it is on Maven's YouTube channel. All right, I'm going to go on and check
it out. I might watch that, yeah.
Yeah, because his YouTube channel is great. Shout out to Maven for, man, you want to talk about making a career out of just dumping the Undertaker over the top rope?
Yeah.
And he's done it everything outside of wrestling. He hasn't done it in the ring. It's all been outside after he left wrestling. Whether it was selling NFL blankets on you know, the
QVC or whatever
it was that he had. And now he is one of the biggest, you know, YouTube channels. Yeah, shout out to Maven.
Hey.
He's keeping his name relevant out there.
Mm-hmm. He used it as a stepping stone.
Yep. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to episode 183. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and give us a listen on there. Follow us on all of our socials at DumbMarksPod. And purchase some merch, prowrestlingtees.com/DumbMarksPod. And if we ain't got anything else, just grab the quote of the week here. And this week, I'm going to give you a quote by the WWE champion. When one good story ends, an even better one begins.
Really?
Such a march.
Until next time, guys.